Whispers of wisdom are experienced in the silence, experienced in the aloneness.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello. And welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we inspire and activate women and their power and their radiance and their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I work with women. I help them to really embody their creative life force energy, their genius, to embody their power and their magnetism. So this is a solo episode where I bring in my experiences to help share with you my life experience. And hopefully that brings you some insight, some wisdom through me. So today I want to talk about the experience of aloneness and how ultimately it is a superpower. I think even from early childhood, I enjoyed aloneness. I remember playing a lot by myself. And I lived in Southern Oregon, in a town called Grants Pass, which is near Ashland. That's usually a place that people have heard of if they've ever heard of anything in Southern Oregon, Ashland with a film festival. So Grants Pass, that's where I'm from. And I lived out away from town. We lived on about 18 acres combined between my parents' property and my grandparents' property. And then we were backed by BLM land. So really, we had a lot of space. And I've always just really seen the blessing in that. As a kid, I spent a lot of time by myself. And I really spent a lot of time by myself out in nature, or just me and my animals out in nature. I used to ride my horse with my dog following behind the horse and cat following behind the dog. It was quite the sight. I enjoyed nature. I enjoyed the peace. And throughout my life, I've enjoyed that time, particularly the aloneness in nature. I've enjoyed her presence and how she doesn't ask anything of me. I just get to be with her and feel her and receive from her. Nature in particular has been so incredibly healing for me. And I have found that I've always lived in nature. There was one time that I lived in San Diego, four houses from the beach. So I was still pretty much in nature. And that was the most city I had ever lived, and still to this date. The rest of it has been always in very, very small towns, in the mountains, by the oceans, internationally. I've lived all over, been very nomadic. And when I look back, it's all been in these very kind of recluse areas. Because of what we speak of here today, this aloneness, the solace that I have found in that aloneness. And there is a difference between aloneness and loneliness. The aloneness has this spaciousness. It's like this, this breath, this exhale into the space, it feels very nourishing to the being, to the body. Again, specifically in Mother Gaia, that aloneness is deeply nourishing. Where loneliness has this feeling of separation. Loneliness can feel out of community, out of tribe. It can feel even, you know, like a feeling of wanting or desiring to be in connection with other people. It can feel very, very empty. It's not to say that sometimes we don't feel lonely in our aloneness, but I'm here to really bring forth the difference. And I believe that when we surrender into our aloneness, we release any level of loneliness and we really find ourselves. So I would spend hours and hours and hours in nature by myself. And I would talk to the beings that I felt and saw. You know, they were given the name my imaginary friends, which later really hit me quite hard. Imaginary. They weren't imaginary to me. And I adored their presence. Which right now makes me wonder, are we ever truly alone? Particularly when we are open to the experience of the angelics, the elementals, and the plethora of beings that always support us. Are we ever truly alone? We're not. But I would spend hours just in the forest, you know, playing in the dirt, connecting to the trees, connecting to the animals. Once I had a horse, I would just ride and spend hours and hours on his back. I would go out into the BLM land, just these trails that just led through the forest, this rather dense forest in southern Oregon. I didn't need anything. And throughout my life, I have always just from my heart insisted on this aloneness. I've continuously created this space for myself to be alone. Now, I understand that there's a lot of conversation about people who are sensitive and introverts and empaths and all these labels. I personally prefer not to label these things. I believe that we are all empaths. And I really believe that actually labeling oneself as an introvert or an extrovert is really not allowing your full expression because we desire to move in and out of all of the expressions. When we allow that, we really feel the full fruition of self. So what do I mean by that? When I allow my alone time, then I'm able to come into these kinds of containers, come online very beautifully. I don't ever feel drained. I don't feel those stories around being drained by others. But I do experience a requirement of my aloneness. So later on, you know, in my high school days, I remember I would just drive places and just, there was a couple of like vistas that I knew of in my hometown. And I would just drive there and sit in the car and stare at these vistas. After I left the country at 19, I spent a lot of time traveling by myself. And even when I was in more of community, of working and community, I really still insisted on time away from everybody. And always, you know, in this form of nature. And as I have deepened, you know, through this experience of myself, I just really feel how my body just, again, like it's like this breath my body takes. It's like, oh, yes, the spaciousness of being alone. We don't have to make ourselves small around others, but there is a spaciousness to the aloneness. There's a peace, a quieting of all of the information that is going on with other people. You know, when you're tapped into the subtle energies, you can feel all the emotions that somebody else is feeling. There's so much information always going on. So in that aloneness, there's just kind of like, it's me and Gaia. And she's so pure. She's so clear. She's so clean. So it's like a silencing of all the information. And it's a superpower. I believe that great leaders desire that aloneness, that great leaders seek that aloneness, that the geniuses that we are seek that aloneness, because it's when we are alone that we are revealed to ourself. Now, you know, I go on jogs usually about every other day in Gaia. And the amount of downloads and epiphany and incredible wisdom and intelligence and insight that comes streaming in, sometimes it's actually hard to grab it all. I usually do voice memos. And it's not to say I don't receive that information when I'm around other people, because I do. But the amount of epiphany that I receive in the aloneness is definitely vastly more. So let me repeat that. The amount of information, wisdom, intelligence, downloads of epiphany, oracle capacity, the receiving of information of that to come is very much. It's a very large amount when I am in that aloneness. And again, sometimes the stories in the spiritual community can be, well, because you're not, you know, connected to anybody else's energy, all of these things. And yeah, I mean, it's, you're not connected to other people's energy, but it's, to me, it's more about the silence. It's more about the silence, the peace that ensues in that space. I firmly believe we can find that with people as well. We don't have to choose unpeace when we are with others. But it is true that we're constantly bumping up against people energetically. You know, our fields are very large. And sometimes we don't think about, like when you walk through a store, you're bumping your energetic fields up against all these people. And you don't have to take that information on. And that's where I believe a powerful empath, power exists in not taking on energies. These labelings about empath are usually about taking on people's energy. And that's not clarity of self. Energy can pass right through you. Information can pass right through you. It can go in one ear and out the other. So I don't think of it as a disempowerment. I don't think of it as I need to take myself away from people in order to feel good. That's not how I personally see it. I see it as a moment of silence. And the whispers of wisdom that exist within those moments of silence sometimes we're not privy to them, right? We have children, we have coworkers, we have all these things going on. If you live in the city or even in town, there is constant stimulation. That is not silence. When you go out into Gaia by yourself, that is silence. I sit on my back deck overlooking the golf course here, and there's just pure silence. And I just sit there and I just breathe in the silence. Again, there's no loneliness in that space, because there's full recognition of the beauty of what is being experienced. There's recognition, there's gratitude for that silence. So when I go out into Gaia, I just first recognize her the minute I connect to her. I recognize her beauty. I recognize her energy. I feel her. Ah, I feel you, Mother Gaia. I feel you in my body. And there's just this immediate, that happens. And as I jog, I listen to my sound of my feet hitting the ground. I listen to the birds in the trees, maybe a gust of wind, maybe my dog panting as she's running ahead of me, something moving in the bushes to the right of me. Listening to presence. It's even in the moments of silence, presence has so much to say. So experiencing this aloneness for me has really become a superpower for me. Realizing that in the aloneness, particularly with Gaia, it's where I have this beautiful epiphany. You know, I can ask a question and I can go out into Gaia and it's like, I don't even just get the answer. I get all the answer plus some, plus more. It's so beautiful. And the epiphany is aliveness in the body. My body lights up with aliveness as the epiphanies arrive. Epiphany is slightly different than intuition, although they could be seen the same. Epiphany is this unlocking of information. You can think of it as like a wormhole of information. It unlocks this opening up of all this information. So intuition can have a feeling or it can be information. But this epiphany is just, it's like a kapow. And then sometimes it goes pow, 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 pow. There's all these explosions of information. And so for me, anytime that I'm feeling stuck or not creative or perhaps just even unsure, unconfident, right? I just go out into Gaia and I listen to the silence and breathe. My breath is such a powerful vessel to connect into the body. You know, it bridges our conscious and our subconscious minds. It bridges our subtle energy fields with our more dense energy fields. And so when we breathe like that, we're just coming in to the body and connecting in to the presence, into the information field, the waves of information that are constantly streaming through. The breath has been such a powerful teacher for me. You know, I was a scuba diving instructor for many, many years. And the interesting thing about diving is people don't realize is your breath is extremely noisy. It's like, with every single breath. But when you're not teaching and when you're just diving for pleasure, you're really in that state of aloneness. You're not necessarily alone. You're usually diving with at least one other person. But it's like just you and your breath and the ocean. And you're underwater and there's this floating sensation. You're floating and you're moving with your breath. As you inhale, you come up. As you exhale, you come down. And it's like you're just immersed in your own-ness. Your own-ness. You're immersed in your breath. And you're moving very little. Diving, and ironically horseback riding as well, is the mastery of very little movement, precise movement. But you don't need to move a lot. When you move a lot, you're wasting energy. It's just a complete waste. You don't need to move that much. So you learn how to like be in this oneness with yourself, moving very, very literally as you're just floating and being with the ocean. As I talk about it right now, I'm like transported back to those experiences. You know, oftentimes you can look one direction or the other and it's completely black or dark. Even if it's really clear visibility, at some point, you can't see any further. Visibility is never just forever underwater. And more often than not, it's not that far. You can't see that far underwater. So something really beautiful about being in your own space, hearing your breath, and looking into just nothingness. And feeling safe in that. Feeling safe in that. That's what I believe that the power of aloneness truly grants us. Grants us this embodiment of the realization that we are safe in the unknown. We're safe in the abyss. We're safe in everything that we can't see, everything that we can't hear, but our bodies are just in this present moment, and we can feel safe in our body in this present moment. We can feel safe in our body in this present moment. We can feel safe in our body in this present moment. You know, being on horseback, out in the forest by myself, I never was scared. Being underwater in the dark, you know, night diving, being in Hawaii where the ground just drops off into nothingness, I never was scared. I was in this strange realization of the beauty. It's like the beauty of the potential of getting lost, but not getting lost. I feel like aloneness also connects us to our aliveness, just like that breath. You know, our breath is our breath. My breath is my breath. Your breath is your breath. And yes, when we are very intimate with other people, we can collaborate our breath and bring our breath into harmony. But it's still our breath. And most of the time, it's not in harmony with others. It's usually just our own breath. And just as that breath is yours, so is your aliveness. Your aliveness, that which lights you up, is completely unique to you. And I just really feel like when we gift ourselves that aloneness, particularly out in nature, I will keep emphasizing that, because there's just something so beautiful to her. Whether that is walking on the beach, whether that's diving, whether that's climbing a mountain. I've also done a lot of rock climbing. Whether that's being in the dense woods, that's being on an open trail. She offers that energy of vastness to us. And I feel like in our aloneness, when we are connecting to that vastness, it allows us, if we're willing, if we remind ourselves that we're safe, it allows us to experience the aliveness of being human. Ah, my body just lit with that comment. So much beautiful energy surging through my body right now in this moment. And I want to end this conversation with saying there is a difference between what I'm speaking to here today, the power of aloneness, and being shut down. And I have walked this line between hermiting and being shut down and stepping into the power of aloneness. And I just feel really called to differentiate them right now, because we can be in a state of trauma and we can shut down, we can hermit, we can pull away. And when we pull away, we're pulling away from ourself just as much as we're pulling away from everything else. It is not an empowered state. Now, sometimes it's necessary. Heck, I have done it so very, very much. It's a form of protection. But when I've connected really into what I'm speaking of today, there is an expansive energy. It's not a contraction. And as I said, there's a bringing of myself, of my aliveness, into the space, not pulling and contracting away. And that's why I think Mother Gaia has been so incredibly important, because she offers that container. Mother Gaia naturally offers a container and invites us to expand our energy and soften outward, open outward instead of contract inward. Usually the more of the hermiting and the contraction and the shutting down happens more inside, in our home, where we will contract inward. And I'm not saying that that too isn't important. And as I said, it can be a useful state of being. However, I've always drawn awareness to that for myself. Again, that's a different feeling. It's a contraction. A feeling of contraction versus expansion. And it's that difference that it's important for us to acknowledge. Why do we feel the need to contract? Why do we feel the need to shut down? Because again, even if we think we're shutting down to the world and to other people, and we're whatever we're doing, keeping ourselves safe or recharging, we're actually shutting down to ourselves. Because when we are contracting, the aliveness within us can't fully express, that beautiful genius that you are, can't emerge and move through you, through your expression into your physical reality. Again, I personally have learned this time and time again by kind of switching between the phases and understanding, aliveness. It feels alive in my body, this aloneness, this expansion. It feels alive. It feels beautiful. And then, okay, hermiting, contracting, shutting down doesn't. It feels protective. It can sometimes feel safe because it's protective energy. But it's not expansive. So I'm so grateful to all the times that Mother Gaia has called to me. Because yes, while I have lived with her, and just, I feel like there was a part of me that just wouldn't allow me to live elsewhere. It's been such an important part for me. And I've insisted upon it. And even though I've lived in her, you know, she's still called to me and she still beckoned me to her. Come, my darling, come. Come be in my embrace. The times that I've gone and just collapsed into her, the minute I stepped foot into her, just fell down on the ground, released my pain into her. Every time I've done that, I've stepped back into that aloneness, back into that expansion. Given myself permission to let it all go, release it all out. Ah, yes, now I feel connected to me again. Whispers of wisdom are experienced in the silence, experienced in the aloneness. And from those whispers, from that deep connection to self, we bring those whispers, we bring that wisdom forth into humanity for the service of all. That is love. Thank you so much for joining me here today. And I rarely do this, or actually I have yet to do it, but you know, truly, if this conversation spoke to you, I would love to hear about it. You can email me directly at info@alarasage.com. I would love to hear how this episode affected you. Also note that I do have a Facebook group that you're welcome to join. It's called The Ecstatic Woman. And it's for the guests and it's for the audience. And I'm going to be bringing a lot more of just extra content on there when I feel inspired. It's just a fun space to connect. I would love to see your faces. Hear you in those spaces. So be sure, if you enjoyed this, to subscribe, to share this episode, and I hope to see you on the next episode of The Ecstatic Woman. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of The Ecstatic Woman podcast as you experience each new day. We want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.